This spring marks the first time in 3 years that fishermen have been able to catch Sacramento River Chinook since salmon populations crashed back in 2008. Now, managers are predicting the biggest salmon season in years. But how long will the boom times last before another salmon bust? Reporter Julia Scott discovers that the hatcheries California built to sustain its king salmon may have created a species more vulnerable to natural disasters.
Life is pretty boring if you're a salmon growing up in the Nimbus Fish Hatchery. After being incubated in a tray, you spend 6 months in a plastic tub surrounded by 70,000 fish just like you. Then, it's graduation day. You'll be scooped into a tanker truck and dumped into the Sacramento River. But for now, there's nothing to do but eat. And the only thing you see all day are the people who feed you, like this guy.
You have to watch your fish.
DJ Gervin is a technician with the California Department of Fish and Game. And he feeds a lot of fish at work each day. 4 million of them. Gervin's job is to get the fish up to size, which means 10 feedings a day. He tosses handfuls of pellets that look like coffee grounds into long plastic troughs filled with inch-long baby fish.
And you just observe how they react. If you walk up to them and they're skitzing away from you, they're pretty full. But other times you throw a little bit of feed and they'll run right at you.
The Nimbus Hatchery sits at the base of a dam 15 miles east of Sacramento. It was created for California fishermen when the dam was built in 1955 to make up for the salmon that lost their spawning grounds. It wasn't supposed to be this way. In gold rush times, 2 million Chinook spawned and died each year in Central Valley rivers. When California's dams went up in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s, they destroyed 70% of the flowing freshwater habitat wild salmon used to spawn, says Peter Moyle, a fisheries biologist at UC Davis.
The promise was made at that point by the dam builders, by the water people. They promised the fishermen that we can do better than nature, that we can build the hatcheries. It doesn't matter if the dams are there, because we promise you we'll build hatcheries. And these hatcheries will do so well that they will more than sustain the fishery. And that's a promise that really has not been kept.
Overfishing, water diversions, agricultural runoff, and urban pollution took their toll. So officials decided to engineer the salmon's survival. Stuffed with synthetic biofeed, vaccinated against disease, and implanted with a tracking tag, the modern hatchery system leaves nothing to chance. Not even birth.
You can see our spawning pans up here. These are what we actually spawn fish into. We can get one down and show you. They're just a plastic pan. And that's where these eggs go into.
Nimbus hatchery manager Bob Burks holds up a spaghetti strainer he says he got from Target.
That female is spawned into a colander, so what's called the ovarian fluid goes out and we can rinse the eggs. At that point, there's a male next to there. We actually slide the boy across and expel milk, that is sperm, into the eggs.
But growing up in a hatchery doesn't guarantee you'll survive long enough to see that plastic pan. Let's say you're 6 months old now, a toddler in salmon years, and you're sent from your well-fed, climate-controlled life into, well, basically, the Pacific Ocean. There are salmon sharks there and other fish competing for your food. It's dangerous and confusing, and your survival instincts have been dumbed down by swimming around in the only home you've ever known, a big plastic tub. Sad to say, scientists say you have a 1% chance of reaching adulthood and returning to spawn as a 3-year-old. A decade ago, more than 1 million fall-run salmon just like you were caught in the ocean or spawned upstream. Those numbers dropped to 41,000 by 2009.
We've been seeing these salmon going out to sea and hitting bad ocean conditions and not coming back.
Ironically, Moyle says, California's network of hatcheries is part of the problem. Today, they pump out more than 90% of the fall-run Chinook in the ocean. In other words, it would be hard to find a salmon that wasn't farm-raised.
Even now, it's likely most of the fish we think are wild salmon are at most 2 generations removed from a hatchery.
The mass production has led to a gene pool in which fish from one stream are indistinguishable from fish in another. That makes the whole pool more vulnerable when, say, there's not enough food in one part of the ocean.
These are not very good wild fish. They go out to seas, and they all do the same thing. Well, if conditions are bad where they happen to be, they all die.
But that's not all. Moyle says hatchery fish have less experience avoiding predators at a young age than wild salmon do. And their brains are less developed, too. Wild salmon aren't hatched on a schedule, and their diversity makes them more resilient. But in today's fishery, does it really matter whether the salmon are wild or not?
I don't really think fishermen care. I think fishermen are looking for a nice, healthy fish that they can enjoy and catch and eat. I think that's what the fishermen want.
Jim Anderson is a second-generation salmon fisherman out of Pillar Point Harbor in Half Moon Bay. Like other skippers here, his income was devastated when the season was shut down for 3 years. The prospect of pulling in some fat, healthy Chinook again is a huge relief. But no one knows how long it will last, and another bad season could push plenty of fishermen, suppliers, and processors out of the business for good.
More of the boats are falling by the wayside or going away. A lot of the fishermen that used to be fishermen aren't.
A week before the season opener on May 1st, fishermen got busy sanding and painting their boats, loading the gear they'll need to catch the salmon. When they do, their catch will be advertised as wild. Will consumers mind that they probably weren't born on a riverbed? Anderson doesn't think so.
By the time that they've left the hatchery, gone through the gauntlet to get back in the ocean, have survived in the ocean for 2, 3, 4, or 5 years, and then returned back to the hatchery, that is as wild a fish and as natural a fish as you're going to ever need to have.
The spring and winter Chinook runs are already listed under the Endangered Species Act, but fishery managers have yet to admit that the hatchery's boom times masked a disturbing decline in the wild fall run salmon, too. Seen through history's lens, questions of where fish were hatched may start to matter. For Cross Currents, I'm Julia Scott.